This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to the Masters of None.
Masters of None.
There's another podcast out there called Masters of None. Check them out. They're very funny guys.
Craft Radio.
This is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Masters of None.
A comedy podcast that doesn't suck.
Masters of None.
We talk about and debate the best and worst of pop culture, man. Interview celebs and often make offensive jokes.
This is a comedy podcast that they say doesn't suck.
Okay.
Masters of None.
Brought to you by the Simply Syndicated Network, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and live on morelikeradio.com.
Yeah, this is Mo the Bartender, and you're listening to the Masters of None. He's the only guy to come into Mo's Tavern and ask for a craft beer and not a duff. Bunch of jerks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Masters of None. My name is Mike. Along with me, Art.
What up?
And Jay, we're having a problem with Skype today, so Jay can't make it. I have a jerry-rigged system here where I was able to get at least on some form of Skype. So maybe Jay will be joining us. Who knows? But in the meantime, we brought somebody in who's a bit of an expert on the topic we're going to be talking about here. My brother Rob.
Yo, what's up? I thought you called me Jerry there for a second. What the fuck? have Jerry.
And he is one of the hosts of a podcast that I plugged, I think, on this show. If I didn't, I'll do it now. Comic Book Seduction, which is a podcast you can get on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Awesome. Really cool, like, beginner's guide to comic books and fun stuff.
Production quality is out of this world, by the way.
Yeah.
It's produced by Mike, so there you go.
But we're going to be talking about comics, specifically Batman villains, and we're going to do our top 8.5 Batman villains of all time.
Yep.
Again, if Jay can somehow get on Skype, he'll be joining us, but if not, we'll throw his list in there.
Apparently, Skype doesn't work in New Jersey except for cell phones.
I don't know what the fuck that's all about, but according to the Skype outage map, which is the thing that exists.
Why?
We are SOL when it comes to Skype in
AOL.
The tri-state. We are AOL on DOA. Anyway. All right,
ASL,
so Batman
anybody?
Villains.
ASL?
Hello? Hello?
I just said ASL. ASL? Anybody?
ASL. Nice. That takes me back.
All right, as we digress, go ahead.
Yeah,
let's talk
sorry.
About
so we're going to talk about Batman villains, top 8.5. This is where it got difficult, Art.
You want me to go first?
Wait, so it's 8.5?
8.5. So basically shit. 9. So your 9 will be your 8.5.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
All right, I got you.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so Art, go ahead. Go first, sir. What do you got?
No, mine's not a 9. It's definitely an 8.5.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Why?
And it's not, I'm not pulling a J, and it's, you know, not, you know, a dwarf or a midget or whatever. Not that.
No.
It's Mrs. Baker.
Who's Mrs. Baker?
Rob, do you know who Mrs. Baker is?
No.
Mrs. Baker was one of the villains in the Scooby-Doo meets Batman.
Okay, that's why I don't know it.
Holy shit.
Jesus Christ. I thought I was going to have some, like, you know, weird ones that maybe not everyone would know, but fuck.
See, if you're going with a 0.5 villain for Batman, you got to have someone, I think, to me, like, off the cuff and just random. And so, obviously, Batman has teamed up with so many people. Right now, I think there's a comic with him and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of things. So, like, the 8.5, I was like, all right, we got to think about, I had to think about, like, what Batman villains I kind of remember, like, episodes. And I'm like, Scooby-Doo. I remember that, you know, he did with Scooby-Doo. So, back in the day, it was, like, Scooby-Doo meets Batman. And the two main villains at the time were Riddler and, no, was it the Penguin? Yeah, it was Penguin and the Joker. And they were, like, getting all this counterfeit money. And Batman and Scooby-Doo and the whole gang thought they were going to be, they were the ones making the money. Like, no, people are just giving us this secret agent is giving us the money. And it turns out, of course, they rip off the mask and boom, it's Mrs. Baker. She was the one making the counterfeit money.
And she would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for you damn Batman.
Fucking Mrs. Baker.
you meddling fucking Cape Crusaders.
Jesus.
Holy shit, that was fucking random. That was a good...
This is fucking Baker.
Oh,
Jesus.
That was a good 8.5, sir.
Thank you.
My 8.5 is from the old Batman series in the 1960s.
Nice.
King Tut.
Yeah. Yes.
King Tut, that diabolical villain who considers himself a pharaoh, but yet his powers could be taken away simply by bonking him on his head.
He's like a Mike Tyson's Punch-Out character.
He is the King Hippo of Batman villains.
Oh, boy.
That's yeah.
Nice, man. Well done.
That's one of my favorites. Although, a special shout-out has to go out to Louis the Lilac, who was played by Milton Berle and his gigantic penis. That was his weapon, I think.
So. Oh, boy.
All right, Rob, what was your 8.5?
Okay, my 8.5 is Hugo Strange.
Ooh.
Nice.
Yeah. And,
see, Rob's list, this is perfect. This is like a nice general, like this is kind of like a natural progression where it's like, okay, a little bit of knowledge, a little bit more knowledge, and then Rob's like, oh yeah, I'm throwing Hugo Strange at the bottom part of my fucking list.
Yeah, so yeah, Hugo Strange, people might know him from the Arkham City video game, you know, people that don't really read the comics that much. He was in that. He was kind of like one of the main villains in that Arkham City story, which actually Paul Dini, who wrote a lot of the animated series, wrote those games, so that was pretty cool. But in the comics, it's pretty sweet because he's one of the people to actually figure out that Bruce Wayne is Batman, because he kind of poses as like a psychiatrist or something in Gotham, and he gives Bruce Wayne this chemical or something and makes him tell him that he's Bruce Wayne. So he's like one of the few Batman villains that just like figured out he was Bruce Wayne so easily, you know what I mean? So right. I feel like intellectually he's like on the same level as him, which makes him a pretty sweet villain, you know?
Yeah, I think you bring up a good topic and a good point right there, where obviously we were kind of joking, Mike and I, for, you know, the 8.5.
Yeah.
But while I was thinking about this list, you think about the animated series, which I thought did a great job, obviously, with Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill as the two main, you know, voicing Batman and Joker.
Yeah.
But you look at some of the movies, and, you know, we'll probably get to a lot of the Facebook mentions that people on our Masters of None page were talking about. But
yep,
the movies and obviously the, you know, the 60s show. And there are certain other things, too, like obviously the Scooby-Doo thing, where they kind of, I hate to say it, like dumb down Batman, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. like have the villains be not as
cartoonish,
psychotic, or just like they're like, OK, they're cute villains.
Yeah, they're cartoonish.
Yeah, and so in this in my list, there's going to be a couple people that I'm going to have in here, and if you kind of go, and obviously Rob, you're going to know this too, if you look into the canon of all the different storylines of the comic books and the graphic novels, you kind of realize, all right, this character or this villain meant more than maybe just than like, you know, this figure or this action figure or this cartoon figure,
right?
Because it went into Batman or Bruce Wayne's psyche. So I think there's sometimes, you know, if you have the Riddler, like, oh, he's a cute guy, he's wearing question marks, and like he's wearing a question mark leotard. But like, look at, you know, like, I don't know, I'll get to in a minute where I have him. Like, he's just smart and maniacal, and he's like trying to be like the greatest detective. Like, he's trying to outwit Batman because Batman's the greatest detective. So I think I just want to say before we kind of like start breaking it down, if you only know the villains from like the 60s Adam West show or like the cartoons, start reading these books. If you're comic books, and if you're kind of disagreeing with where our numbers are at or where we're ranking these people, obviously Rob and, you know, Mike, you're into comics as well as I am. There's a reason I think why I have these guys listed as I do in this list, because it's not going to be like the cookie cutter, like, oh, this guy and this guy, because everybody knows the mainstream, you know? So right. I don't know how you guys did it, but that's how I did my list.
Yeah, I think mine is really... I only got like really two guys that if you're not a, if you're more of a casual fan, you'd know, but
yeah,
everybody else, it would be pretty easy to identify. All right. So That was our 8.5.
Yeah.
That was, yep. Eights. Yep. What do you got, Art?
Eight for me is Two-Face. Just because of the tragic downfall of the hero slash, you know, guy who's trying to help out the city and make it better. Then all of a sudden things happen to him. He goes insane. And then the guy that Bruce Wayne was trying to work and help and, you know, make Gotham better, all of a sudden just goes kablooey. And then, like, he just has this, you know, double personality. I love the story of Two-Face. I love the tragic downfall. Obviously certain movies portray him as just a guy who just bases things off a coin flip. And, like, you know, he's like a, you know, like a mutilated Scarface. But if you kind of go into the comic, go into the canon, I was with the relationship that he had with Batman or Bruce Wayne makes him more vulnerable for when him and, you know, Batman face off. So that's why I have him right there. I just think he's a really well-written character when he's in the comic books.
He is number 3 on my list.
Okay.
A lot of the reasons you said, but also two, for me, you can view Two-Face as the angriest Batman villain. I feel like he's just the quintessential, he's the personification of the term fuck it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You're not going to see, like, Two-Face, like, being quippy.
He's like, fuck it.
Yes.
He's like, fuck it. I'm just going to flip this coin, and whatever happens, happens. You know what I mean? Like, he's like the perfect example of that. And also, as for my number 4, two characters I think that are they're very tragic. Two-Face is a very tragic character at the same time. It's very sad because he's also being pulled in a different direction by his other half the time. And it's like, it's a very sad, it's a very sad state to be in, you know, where you're constantly being pulled one way or the other. So I think yep. That's why I like Two-Face. I think he's the angriest, you know, it's just brute force when it comes to him. Not a lot of smarts, you know?
Yeah, like no doubt.
So that's my, okay, Rob, your 8.
Is Bane.
Bane is your 8.
Yeah, and I'm going with Bane more in the comics.
Yeah.
The Nightfall arc in the 90s that introduced Bane. And you could actually, in a realistic way, if you're thinking about it realistically, you could kind of say he's the best Batman villain, because basically what he did in that arc was go to Gotham, be like, all right, what's up with this Batman guy? I'm gonna beat the shit out of him. What does he do? He breaks out every single villain, one of Batman's villains from Arkham, and it just basically watches Batman get tired down by getting all his villains back in Arkham. And right when he finishes all that, that's when Bane goes after him. Figures out he's Bruce Wayne, like Hugo Strange. Yeah, but, I mean, he's fucking smart.
Yeah.
He basically figures out it's Bruce Wayne, like, right away. So he takes the villains. They all go out. Batman gets rid of them all. And then when he's at his weakest point, he shows up at the Wayne Manor and breaks his back. Like, no other villain, not even the Joker, has hurt him in that way, you know, like, physically. Yeah. He's also super smart too, so you got that too. It's like brute force and you know, just really fucking high intellect, you know what I mean? So it's like the perfect villain, and he's one of the more memorable, like, 90s Batman villains too, so.
Yeah. I mean, that scene, I have about like 3 or 4 variant covers when variant covers were in of the whole Nightfall thing in my, like, you know, in my white boxes, I should say, for my comic books. Bane, spoiler alert for me, was at number 2, just from everything that you said. I mean, he found a way to, one of the reasons why he's up there, and the whole movie, like, when when he was in the movie, not the most recent ones, but the Joel Schumacher ones. I mean, he just looked like a guy on steroids and roid rage, and that was it. Unfortunately, like, they just gave him the wrong, you know, identity in that movie, and everyone's like, oh, he's just a guy with, you know, roid rage. No, right. I mean, he was very methodical. He was smart. Like, yeah, he out-detected the great detective, and that's the reason why, like, for me, like, he outsmarted Batman, found out he was Bruce Wayne, and just destroyed him.
Yep.
And he didn't kill him. He just broke his back because he knew that he wouldn't be able to fight crime. He took him out of commission, and all of a sudden he had to watch Gotham burn, so out to speak, you know? And that was just beautiful.
I agree. It's good stuff.
Bane is my 5.
All right. Cool.
5.
Sweet.
All right.
You're number 8, Mike.
My number 8.
Mrs. Baker.
Mrs. Baker. Oddly enough.
I have Mrs. Baker at 2, but I mean, you know, we'll get to that.
My number 8 is Stephen Baker, the touchdown maker. Number 8 for me is the one and only Vincent Price as Egghead.
All right. I love you're going all 60s here.
No, I'm not. This is my last. This is my last 60s one. That by far is the most memorable. That was like when, you know, the Batman, old Batman show kind of dipped into other villains other than the main core, and they just started going off into like these weird. And the first one that was very recognizable and very was very memorable was Egghead, Vincent Price as Egghead with that fucking bald cap on and just making egg puns the entire time. Fucking phenomenal. I wonder if that character was sponsored by the Egg Council. We need to get kids to eat more eggs. What do we do? Make a Batman villain out of them. That's what we'll do. Ding.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, you know, Vincent Price added a lot to the whole, like, you know, horror film genre, and obviously...
Sure, that skull cap was terrifying.
Yeah, he did look scary.
No, I'm just saying
scary.
In general, you know, I mean, yeah. Just for Vincent Price. But yeah, that's a good one, man. Nice. Love it.
So that's 8, okay? You can see how this is going. You can see the... We're doing the funny version, the medium pace version, and the super serious version. Again, we're Bane, or... Was yours with Bane was 8?
Yes.
Bane. Fucking Bane is 8 on this dude's list. And I have no idea where he's going. It's crazy. All right. 7. Art. Go ahead.
Number 7 for me was Scarecrow.
Oh, my God. I like the really?
Different variations of him. And we all know, I mean, think about it. Why is Bruce Wayne, why did he decide to be a bat?
Scared. He's a scared.
Yeah,
just
so
like,
I mean,
I'm scared fear, of Jurassic Park.
The the fear of the bat, obviously, when he was a kid, you know, drove him to be like, well, you know, if I'm going to use my fear and turn it into my strength instead of my weakness. And then obviously, not that Scarecrow knew that was going on, but just again, him, Dr. Crane, all of a sudden going off to La La Land, just starting his own chemicals brand and different other things to just kind of. You know, instill fear not only into Batman but other people as well. I dig it. And I thought that the evolution of Scarecrow kept on getting better and better. I actually liked him in all the, you know, the different Arkham games. So yeah, I was just a big fan of, especially that look from the Arkham games. I think put him at number 7 for me. Besides the comic books, I was a big fan of, you know, Scarecrow to begin with.
Spoiler alert, Scarecrow is number 1 on my fucking list.
Whoa!
Mainly because of one thing, and one thing alone. The episode of the animated series where Scarecrow kills Barbara Gordon, kills Batgirl, she falls off a building, and then... I almost called him Professor Gordon. Commissioner Gordon goes after Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson and Tim, who played
Tim
Robin.
Tim Drake.
Yeah. Because he's known all along that Batman's Bruce Wayne. And he goes after him, arrests Nightwing.
That's a great episode.
Fucking awesome episode. And then at the very end, you find out that it's a terror dream that Barbara Gordon's having because she got gassed by Scarecrow. Fucking awesome. Such a good goddamn episode, and really made me appreciate how good of a bad guy, how good of a villain Scarecrow can be.
Yeah.
And nice. He became my favorite from that fucking episode. Absolutely.
Bane was in that too, actually.
Was he?
Yeah, Bane was in that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, Gordon, I think, hires him.
Yeah, Gordon hired him. That's right.
That's fucking awesome. Dude, yeah. What a great episode.
That was a fucking amazing episode. And... Does doesn't get talked about a lot. I think that's...
You know who talks about that episode all the time?
Who's that?
Kevin Smith.
Oh,
he
really?
Put it on Twitter one time. He put it like his favorite TV moments. And he was talking about like The Wire. He's talking about all these shows. And like his number five or whatever was that, that episode.
Nice. Yeah, dude, that episode stuck with me watching that as a kid. I was like, what? You know, you're watching this whole thing. You have no idea. Yeah. Where it's that it's going to go into the, and it's kind of, I mean, yeah, it is the kind of the ultimate cop out. Oh, it was all a dream, but the circumstances surrounding it, the fact that it wasn't a dream, it was a gas induced hallucination, from the scarecrow, from the very person that she had the fucking nightmare about or whatever. That's so goddamn cool. That's so goddamn cool and really messes with your head. So yeah, he was number one on my list. And I don't think they did a bad job with him in the movies, to be honest with you.
No, he was fine. I didn't have any problem with it.
I liked it. I think you could have even taken him further if you wanted to, but they kind of just left him as kind of a tertiary character, villain, which was nice.
Which is cool because it does that whole comic book thing. Like, yeah, there are side villains that come in and out every once in a while, you know? So it was,
Yeah, the way they brought him in the beginning of... The second one was just fantastic. And, like, the banter was, like, when those guys were dressed up and was like, you need help. And he's like, I think you do, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and basically, regulated him to a fucking drug dealer. He was just an overhyped drug dealer by the second one, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's cool, yeah.
You know?
It's a good way to go about it.
Yeah,
especially in that, like, realistic vision. Exactly.
Yeah. No doubt.
All right, next one for you, Art. Or no, you just said yours. I'm sorry.
We're on seven?
Seven. Rob.
My seven is Harley Quinn. I know that she could kind of be seen as a sidekick type thing, but she, technically is a Batman villain. So I just think it, it just shows you how good of a character is that she was an original character in the animated series. She wasn't even a comic book character at first, and then she crossed over into comics to become such a popular character. And her the mad love story in the animated series, and it's a comic book too that Bruce Timm and Paul Dini wrote, is a really awesome origin for her, that she was Harleen Quinzel, this girl working at Arkham, and she falls in love with the Joker and just turns psychotic. She's just a really, really fun, colorful character. And in that mad love story, she actually proves that she could beat Batman, because she actually captures him and puts him in this like really cool trap where it's like she puts him upside down into the tank so that the fish look like they're smiling because he's upside down. And Joker gets pissed too, because at the end of it, when Batman, obviously breaks free, he's on the top of a train fighting with Joker, and he pisses Joker off because he says, honestly, like, Joker, like, she got closer than you ever did, like, to killing
you. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, pissed off Joker. So she's actually, she kind of acts like she's dumb and, just kind of, like an airhead, but she's actually pretty smart, too. So she's just a good character.
What do you think about the Suicide Squad?
I like that actress. She's pretty hot too, but that doesn't hurt.
That helps.
The first trailer, I thought she looked cool in it. I thought she was overacting a little bit in the second trailer, but whatever. I mean, I'm sure she'll be all right.
Yeah.
She looks good as her, but yeah.
I'm still meh with that movie. I don't know.
The only thing that, like, I watched the second trailer, the Bohemian Rhapsody, is like, all right, it's funny that they put that in there. But again, you had the Will Smith line, like, all right, we got to protect the Earth,
They should have put a Will Smith song in the background. That would have been better. Or like an original, like a Suicide Squad rap thing.
Welcome to Miami. Welcome to Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Pick it a while.
Suicide.
Here comes
the Suicide Squad.
Quick off-topic thing.
Oh, we're not off-topic yet.
Independence Day 2.
Yeah, bro.
Oh, yeah.
It's happening.
I'm in.
Can't wait.
it's going to be fucking terrible, but I'm going to love every minute.
I'm excited. I can't wait. I hope Judd Hirsch gets a lot of screen time again. I'll be dead if it wasn't my son, David.
He hasn't aged...
He's the same age.
He actually looks younger in this trailer than he did in the old one. So yeah, that's he's actually number three on my list for Batman villains.
Who are we talking about?
Judd Hirsch.
Judd Hirsch. Y'all would be dead if it was my son Batman.
Who's your seven, Mike?
Oh yeah, seven for you, right?
Seven. I know nerds, you could technically be considered a Nightwing villain, but I'm gonna throw him in this list. Deathstroke.
All right, cool, nice.
Deathstroke.
He's my number six.
Nice.
He's a Batman villain. He's a Teen Titans villain. He's all over the place.
He's a fucking Arrow villain.
Yeah.
Which actually made him very cool to me. He got higher on my list because of
that. He was a great villain in that show.
Great villain in
one
Arrow.
Of the best.
Yeah. But Deathstroke, kind of like a cross between, you know, DC's version of like Deadpool and I don't know, what is a good assassin?
Punisher?
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Deadpool and Punisher. And a little bit of Cable thrown in there too.
It's his real name's Wade Wilson, Slade Wilson. They joked about it.
Oh, really?
When they made Deadpool.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, and I dig all of those characters. So to have one guy that's kind of like all of them put together is pretty goddamn cool. Just like the best assassin ever.
Yeah.
So
yeah, cool. That's why he's number six on the list for me, just because, obviously, you know, Batman, Bruce Wayne, he, you know, trained in martial arts, whatever. And he was able to, like, Deathstroke did the exact same training. He's kind of like a metahuman with the serum and all that. So there's just a lot of cool things, the different fights. I love the costume of Deathstroke. Another side note, the whole thing of Arrow, one guy's I forgot where it was, but he wrote an article about saying how the CW's Arrow is pretty much Batman, but instead of Bruce Wayne, it's Oliver Queen.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Especially the first two seasons.
Yeah. So, like, I never really thought about that until I read that article, but I can kind of see that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Deathstroke is definitely a badass character for, in the DC universe. But, I mean, Teen Titans, Batman, Green Arrow, everybody, you know, he's definitely... fought people here and there, but he's number six for me.
Nice. All right, that was my seven. So, and your six. So, Rob, your six.
Oh, did he? Okay.
He just did his six. His six was Deathstroke.
Oh, okay. My six is Scarecrow. So I'll keep it short. One of the iterations of him that I really like is, and I'm going to talk about this comic again, is The Long Halloween, and that was a comic book by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale, and he was just one of the more creepy characters in that. He like spoke in like nursery rhymes and shit. It just made him 10 times more creepy, so that had an impact on me, so he gets number six for that reason.
Nice, man. Good reference. I love that. Nice.
Yeah.
My number six is the person that I'm dressed up as right now. I have half of my Riddler costume on right now. And it's funny because I have the Riddler mask over my glasses, and it really shouldn't be working like that. So I like this costume.
That's all right.
This is like my best Halloween costume ever. It really was.
It's awesome.
He's my number three, actually.
He's your number three? All right. So here's the thing.
He was, I'm sorry, just real quick. He was, when Mike told me to make a list before, he said 10, and he was my 10. So.
Okay.
There you go.
So here's the thing I don't get about Riddler. Like, you kind of hinted at him before, Art, about how he's basically trying to become as smart as Bruce Wayne is. But how are you ever going to get to be smart when you leave around fucking clues like that? like stop leaving around clues, dude. so people can figure shit out. Because, I mean, this stuff's confusing enough, you know? But if you, like, leave a trail of breadcrumbs, yeah, I think Batman's going to fucking figure it out. He's fucking Batman.
But I think that's the whole point, because he wanted to
stump him, so he knew that he was better than him.
Maybe not to stump him, but he always wanted, I think Riddler wanted a way out. If you look at his character and the different iterations through the different comic books, the cartoons, the movies, whatever, he always wanted to prove that he was smarter than Batman, and he left those clues, in my opinion, to be like, oh, if you solved it, it's because I left these clues for you. And there are certain comics where he gets very, very evil and very, like, certain traps or certain other things that he does And if you put, if you just kind of break it down, like right now, Gotham, I think, is doing a fantastic job of showing the creation of, like, how he starts kind of having, like, dual personality or, you know, multiple personalities.
Yeah.
And he's up there for me because, again, Batman, the great detective, he's trying to outthink Bruce Wayne or Batman. And he has this just goal of just trying to outwit Batman, trying to do this over and over again. And if he leaves these clues, in my opinion, the different books that I've read, I just get this sense where he's like, all right, I want him to try and solve it. And if he does, it's because I left him these clues. So it's like, for him, Riddler, it's like a win-win situation. If he gets away with the crime, it's great. I outsmarted the Batman. If he, if Batman beats me, it's because I left him these clues so I could help this idiot. So
Do you ever notice that Batman and Bruce Wayne have a lot of guys, a lot of dudes who are just like secretly in love with them? Like Joker just loves Batman.
Oh, he loves him.
Loves him.
Yeah, he does.
Like, loves him. Like, wants to have sex with him. And then fucking Riddler just wants to be smarter than Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's his whole thing. Like, he just loves Bruce Wayne. And he just wants him to notice him. A lot of dude love in Batman. Okay. All right. I don't know. Riddler always seemed... like, I don't know. I never was scared of Riddler ever.
He's colorful. Like, he's iconic. Now he's one of he's one of the more memorable villains. That's why people.
I love the Frank Gorshin Riddler.
Yeah.
Again, I just feel like you're kind of looking at the huggable Riddler. Yeah. The pop figure Riddler. Like, oh, he's so cute. Yeah. Let me just put him on my shelf.
If Riddler, is perceived as the villain from Saw,
which they kind of did in the Arkham games,
like,
which is a cool spin on it.
Try to figure this shit out, or else your arm gets cut off. I don't know, whatever.
There are certain comic books where you see like more of an insane version of him, and I think Gotham is kind of going towards that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where he's smart as hell. He's trying to always, beat Batman in a game of wits. But and then he just, again, has that hang up about leaving clues and just trying to, make people look like idiots. So, I mean, that's his Achilles heel. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Most of the time it doesn't, obviously, because Batman saves the day. But, I mean, that's why I think he's beyond the leotard question mark suit. That's just my...
Nice. All right, so that was my what? That was...
We're on six, right?
Yeah, so you're up.
Number me for five?
Oh, we're five now,
we're
right?
We're on five, yeah.
Number five is Ra's al Ghul.
Nice.
All right, cool.
Just the storyline with everything now. I mean, before he was a cool character, Lazarus Pit, you can't really defeat him. He's kind of like Deathstroke, obviously, with people who've seen the show Arrow now. Where, he's a villain there, but awesome, identity as a character, very cool. Love the fact that, what they did in Batman Begins was fantastic with the old, people might have saw the old switcheroo coming, but the whole thing that Liam Neeson played was fantastic. But then you add in the whole, his daughter and then Damian is just brilliant. I mean, they took his character and just... obviously made a family tree and intertwined Bruce Wayne. And I love that. Cause again, that's drawing on so many different emotions for Batman being not having his parents, then finding that he has he has a son in Damian and all these other things that, Ra's al Ghul family line just keeps on messing with Batman's head over and over and over again. And Ra's al Ghul wants him to be his apprentice, but then Batman's like, I'm not having any of that. So he's just a very intriguing character. So that's why he's at number five for me.
Is he on your list at all, Rob?
Yes.
Where was he?
He's number two on my list.
Number two on your list. Why is he so high on your list?
Just because I see him as an equal to Batman. And you know what else? Yep. And this is a stupid reason, but the fact that he's the only one of his villains to call him detective. He calls him detective instead of instead of Batman. And I always thought that was so fucking cool, you know? So I don't know. He's just awesome.
He's like, he's basically saying, yo, Batman, game recognized game.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much, you know, but he's just a little crazier. And it's cool, the whole thing with the Lazarus pit and how he, you know, has lived for such a long time and has so much knowledge and wisdom. You know what I mean? It's just a cool villain because it's one of those villains where you're like, all right, I want Batman to beat him or I want him. But at the same time, you're like, damn, but he's pretty fucking cool. He's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah.
You know, you know, so, yeah.
Totally agree with you, Rob. So I'm sorry I kind of ruined your number two. But
oh,
yeah,
no, it's totally fine.
My next one was Bane, which we already talked about.
Rob, who's your five?
Yeah.
Okay, five for me. I don't know if you guys know this, but five for me is the Court of Owls. And this
oh,
is
yes. Yeah, in the New 52,
yes,
right?
Yes, because yeah. The New 52 happened around 2011, and Scott Snyder, who's like a really awesome comic book writer, he's actually fairly new too. He did a really awesome run on Detective Comics prior to this with Dick Grayson as Batman, and then what they did was revamp the whole thing. So it's just a brand new Batman number one, and you know, with Bruce Wayne and everything's back to normal. And he introduces this Court of Owls, which is pretty much like this secret society that's been like running Gotham from the shadows for like since like the 1800s. And it's just so fucking awesome. Just this whole idea of Batman. You think Batman knows everything about Gotham, but he doesn't know about this Court of Owls. And it's like, it's almost in like a nursery rhyme. Like it's kind of like a fairy tale type thing. And people are like, that's not true. It can't be true. And it turns out it is true. And all the members of it wear these creepy owl masks. And they have these guys called Talons. And I guess that could be like the villain. If you want to put it on one guy, it's this guy called the Talon. And he's basically like this fucking super indestructible assassin who has been living for years and years, because they kind of keep them in these like chambers that they have some chemical in them that makes them like really they can't die pretty much.
Yeah.
And it was just so awesome seeing a new villain that while I was reading that first arc, I'm like, this is like a new classic Batman villain. And they put him in this labyrinth thing in underground in Gotham. And Batman's just like delusional. And he's like fucking losing his mind for like 5 days in this labyrinth. And he's going in circles and circles. And it was just one of the coolest things, because you really, and I haven't felt that way a lot in a while with a Batman film, where you really get to fucking hate these owl guys. And it's awesome when Batman just comes back and just starts fucking taking him out like at the end. You know what I mean? It's just so cool. So. Yeah. So they all jump to number five for that
Spoiler
reason.
Spoiler alert, Rob. Jeez.
Great pick right there, man. That was when the New 52 came out. I started most of the comics I get now are digital, like on my iPad or whatever.
Right.
But when the New 52 came out, I started buying those, and like all the like they were smart because they had, I think, like five different versions of Batman or five different titles. And they were all intertwined with the League of, you know, the Owl series, like the Owl villain.
Yeah,
and like,
Night of the Owls, yeah.
Yeah, and you were just so, like, I was engrossed in it. Obviously, you were too, talking about it. And, like, yeah, those masks were creepy. It was like, what was that one Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise movie that Stanley Kubrick did?
Yeah, it reminds me of that. Yeah, it's, like, really fucking creepy. Oh, man. Yeah. So
you have
cool.
that creepy vibe, but then you're like, The part where you said where Batman, like obviously Bruce Wayne, like, wait, there was a society? You're like, wait, what? And then for those who watch Gotham, they kind of hit on that too. They kind of used a little bit of that too. I almost thought at one point they were going to go into that one family as the Owls, but they didn't, which was fine, which I'm kind of glad they didn't. But yeah, that's a great story arc. And if you haven't seen that, even though you might know the outcome because we just kind of told you, but it's still very to read.
I didn't give away actually a lot of shit at the end.
No, you did.
Too.
No, you did.
So,
no, you did.
But you know, Batman is going to be Batman for, you know, the foreseeable future. So it's not like he's ever going to die or anything. So I guess that's not a spoiler. Yeah. But yeah, just a fantastic run. It was phenomenal. I highly recommend that.
I heard he was dead, dude.
Nice.
All right. Yeah, mine was Bane. So then you're, what are we on? Four?
Number four. Yeah.
Go ahead, Art. Four.
Number four for me is Dr. Thomas Elliot, also known as Hush.
Hush, yeah. Great.
All right. Mike, you know this guy at all or no?
Nope.
All right.
Here we go.
There was a comic book series called Hush, and he was a childhood friend of Bruce Wayne and Batman, surgeon and all that. And then things kind of happened. I don't want to. It's a storyline you should definitely read. I don't want to like give away too much, but again, just pulling the strings of Bruce Wayne's personal ties, connections, and emotions, and all those other things to kind of just throw up into the mix. He's very Bane-esque as well. I don't know if you would agree with me, Rob, on certain things. But yeah, I love that character and that villain, because just like you said about the owls, for me, this guy was kind of like a new quote-unquote villain that was definitely messing with Bruce Wayne. So I loved it.
Yeah, I could see what you're talking about with Bane, because in that whole Hush series, you pretty much get every Batman villain in that series. So yeah, he was kind of using all of them, you know, to get to Batman, which is apparently a strategy that works, and Batman should have fucking saw that one coming again.
Yep.
Rob, who's your four?
Four for me was Two-Face.
Okay.
And you know what? Honestly, not so much with the one that I said I was going to bring back, Long Halloween again, and that's a great Two-Face story too. I think it might be more so in Dark Victory, which is like the sequel to that, where it's you see like Sal Maroni and the Maroni family, like actually like you kind of see Two-Face's origin, where you know he's in court with him and he spills the acid on him and all that shit. So that was a really compelling character in that series, and then definitely that like two-part animated series episode with Two-Face, like just kind of going through like his whole arc as a villain, was fucking awesome too. So that's why he's number four on that list.
All right. My number four was another tragic villain in my eyes, and that would be Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
Mr. Freeze is just that, like, you know, he's doing everything and anything he's doing. You know, he's Walter White before Walter White was Walter White, you know. Everything he's doing is for his wife, and he just gets deeper and deeper. And then, you know, he's a very just a tragic villain. And then with the suit on, you know, making him so utterly strong and so, you know, virtually unstoppable. Just a very cool character. And, you know, very hard to pull off. He's always, the thing about him is that he's always tragic, even in the fucking Schwarzenegger version, but for a different reason, is that a tragic character. But
the puns were the tragedy there.
Oh, eyes to see you. Chill out, bad boy.
What killed the dinosaurs?
The Ice Age.
Oh. Yeah, he's number three on my list. So,
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
The Arnold Schwarzenegger version, yes.
The only version.
No, yeah, just because of that whole Heart of Ice storyline in the animated series was just...
Yeah. Oh, with his wife?
Really, really solid fucking couple episodes.
Dude, yeah, not, absolutely. And every iteration of him, like, has to be that tragic. You know
Here's
what I mean?
The thing,
you
Mike,
cannot make him tragic.
The only misstep I see in the new 52 Batman, because like the Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo arc has been awesome all the way through. The only thing that I think was a misstep for them was they did a Mr. Freeze annual, which, you know, I was really excited about. Like, you heard he was like going back to the animated series for inspiration and stuff. And he kind of tried to like flip it on its head. And what he did, I think, kind of just ruined the whole character. It was because basically what Batman finds out is that Nora isn't really his wife in the new 52 version, and he's like this psychotic guy who like thinks it's his wife.
Oh.
So that like kind of to me ruined the whole thing, where it's like, well, no, that's why he's so tragic, you know?
Yeah. So, and apparently they're introducing him in the next season of Gotham too.
Yeah, and he just looks fucking cool too, especially in like the Arkham games. I always thought he like really looked cool.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, the Gotham, the kind of like a little teaser for season three or the mid season, whatever, was just like, yep, that's great. Nice.
Yeah. That's awesome.
All right, before we get to our top three here, I'll read a couple from the Facebook, and I'll definitely not mention anybody that we haven't mentioned yet. Joshua Hawkins says Superman is Batman's best villain.
That's interesting.
That's an interesting.
I think that's almost going along the lines of if he's referencing Frank Miller, cool.
Yeah.
If he's doing the movie right now,
we'll see.
Yeah.
David Lopan says the Condiment King. Crystal Cush said Scarecrow. Tim Saliani says Joel Schumacher.
Well done. Well done.
John Sedeke said Schwarzenegger. Alberto Acevedo said probably the nipple batsuit.
Yep. Well done. What did Carlos say?
Carlos the Aztec said bad marketing.
Nice. Yep.
Melissa Barrett, who, I'm sorry, I won't say that because we haven't said it yet necessarily. David Wilson, Egghead. Zach Rosenberg, Calendar Man. The fuck is that shit?
They're on your train of thought. But yeah, Calendar Man. He was in the Arkham games too. He was actually in the Long Halloween, that comic book I was just talking about.
Right. Jason Hawks said Deathstroke. Jeff Ferry said Bob Kane. John Baggett said Clayface, somebody we haven't said. Richard Kershaw, the Bookworm. Wally Dwight also said Joel Schumacher. And then said Hugo Strange. Joe Ingram said Two-Face. And Jacob Huggy said Deadshot. So thank you for everybody on Facebook.
Cool.
You know what? Go ahead,
Someone said Bob Kane, do you remember like the whole story? It was the Comic-Con that we did the live broadcast for Masters of None. I think it was 2010, maybe.
Yeah.
The guy who, quote unquote, again, I'm doing air quotes on a podcast that's audio, so there you go. was Jerry Washington.
Uh-huh.
And there was this fight that, I guess legal fight that, yes, he was helping Bob Kane, but Bob Kane ultimately created everything about the Joker or something along the lines. I guess Jerry Washington's like, oh, it'd be cool if like he was like, you know, one of the main villains was like a clown.
Yeah.
And they were going back and forth on the rights. And just when someone said, I forgot who it was on Facebook, said like Bob Kane, I just immediately think of that like whole legal battle or whatever.
Well, I was going to say that, Bob Kane is really Bill Finger's biggest villain in real life. Cause like, he just was like, yeah, what about this bat guy? And then like drew a little costume. Like if you look up the original, like what he was really supposed to look like is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But Bill Finger was the guy like, no, he should look like this. He should really like look like a bat. And you know, he came up with all like pretty much the whole, he did like the world building of Batman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why it's cool that he's also sharing credit now on everything.
Hey, then when more than five people name Finger get in a room, do they just call themselves the Fist? that was terrible.
Where's the soundboard?
Yeah, I have it right here. Here you go. This is for that. That's our bad joke sounder.
My number three is Riddler, and number two is Bane, which we've already talked about.
Right.
Nice. All right, Rob, you're number three.
Yeah, and then my number three was Mr. Freeze, and my number two was Ra's al Ghul. So we covered those guys.
My number three is Two-Face. We covered. My number two is, because I said my number one, my number two is Joker.
All right. And I'm assuming, Art, that both of our number ones is Joker?
Yes.
Okay, so
there we go. So Joker's number one. Who's your guy's number two?
Mine was Ra's al Ghul.
What was yours, Art?
Bane.
Bane. Mine was I got Scarecrow. Where do you have Scarecrow?
Seven.
And I'm six, I think.
Yeah, okay, six. So not that one. You have Bane at what?
Bane is eight for me.
And Art, yours was three?
Two.
8, 2, and 6. Okay, what about Mr. Freeze?
Ra's al Ghul's at 5 for me.
Yeah.
Mr. Freeze was 3 for me.
Okay, so this might be... Yeah, I think we might have... Where was Mr. Freeze for you, Art? Was he on yours or no?
He wasn't on my list. Because I try to be funny and have Miss Baker on as my 0.5. Like, no joke, I made my list, and then, like, for like, I always, when we do these lists, and then obviously when we go to Facebook and all that, I don't look at the Facebook page at all until I'm done with my list. And then I saw Mr. Freeze. It wasn't, again, like, he was going to be on there.
Yeah.
I wanted to be cute, so that's why he's not on there. But, like, like you guys mentioned, tragic character, everything that he's very badass. He looks cool.
I'm going to say, is Bane on all of our lists?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to call it, and I'm going to say one Joker, two Bane, three Mr. Freeze right now. Right? Do we have, or do we all have Riddler on our list?
Where do we all have Two-Face?
Two-Face, I have at three.
I have him at four.
Eight. Okay, so there you go. Joker, Bane, Two-Face.
Okay.
There you go. There's your top three. So let's talk about Joker, everybody, because we got Joker very high.
Yeah.
Obviously, the most iconic villain of all time, taken so many different ways, so many different stories about him, his origin, et cetera, et cetera. So many different variations of him just by movies alone. Movies alone, so many different people that have played him and brought life to the clown prince of crime.
The Harlequin of hate.
Hold on, I got one more. Yeah. Yeah, so obviously huge on your guys' lists. Got to throw him at number one. I mean, it's kind of cliche. It's kind of hack. But at the same time,
you can't
really run away from it, right?
You know, people say he's the greatest villain of all time. Really? So how could he not be number one on a list of just Batman villains? You know what I mean?
Well, okay. Yeah. You just put us in our place, Rob. I'm sorry.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying a lot of people think that. And it's hard to argue with people, even if it's not your number one.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's hard to argue with them. If they
Who wins in a fight, Joker or Darth Vader right now?
I think he has the best relationship with Batman.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to kill Batman. If Batman gets killed, there is no Joker. Like, you see it so brilliantly in The Dark Knight Returns, where basically Joker's just in a mental ward. Like, he's a fucking vegetable because Batman hasn't been around. And the moment he comes back, that's when he perks up and he has purpose again. You know what I mean? So
that's, yeah, with the finger and just like the smile. I mean, that is creepy personified.
And I mean, like, he fucking killed one of the Robins with a wrench.
Yep.
He killed fucking Jason Todd. It's amazing.
Everything that he's done, I mean, again, like killing Joke, all this, and yeah, I mean,
oh killing Joke too, absolutely.
There's so many things that it's just, and then like the different, you know, theories that, you know, Joker's actually just made up in Batman's mind and his psyche and all. Like, there's just that. I mean, to even get more hacky, Joker is like Batman's onion. There's so many freaking layers and just everything that can come out. Like the new 52 with the whole, like the mask where he started cutting off his skin and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Batman's onion, new fan name, calling
it. And it's cool that you said the new 52 too, because the death of the family, because when he killed Jason Todd, that was death in the family. And then they did the death of the family. And basically what Joker was trying to do in that was, I'm going to kill everyone that you, like, you've made this huge family. So you have, you got Batgirl, you got Nightwing, you got a new fucking Robin, you got your son and he's a Robin too. It's like, I'm going to get rid of all of them because they're slowing you down and I want you to be the best you can be. Like, he's doing it like he loves them. He's like, I need to kill all these people so that you can be the best that you could be because I love you. You know,
he puts Batman's bunny in the crock pot.
Not paying attention to me, Todd. What the fuck his name is?
Oh yeah, no, I mean, yeah. I all hacks aside, man, Joker's got to be number one, and hands down, man.
Yep.
Wow. Well, that's a compelling argument.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not changing my mind.
All right.
I still like fucking Scarecrow better.
I just think, and then I take into account too. I'm like, okay, well, if you're looking at someone like Scarecrow and Joker, okay, who had the best stories
Yep.
With Batman. And it's like, okay, well, Joker, you can point to the fucking laughing fish, you, Death in the Family, Killing Joke. You can name off a bunch. I can't really name that many Scarecrow stories.
Yeah. And who scares of the other villains?
Exactly. And he is not, he's one of those villains, he's not intimidated by any of them, any of the other villains either.
Nope.
Exactly.
Not at all. Like he is seriously just on his own timeline, his own wavelength, whatever. The only thing yep. that he tries to connect to is with Batman. There are certain episodes where they're just like, or comic books where like the Penguin or this or that. It's like, are you really doing this? And they're like, and he's like, yeah, why not?
Crazy. Like he fucking, you know, in Killing Joke, shot Barbara Gordon through the spine.
Yep.
And then undressed her, took a bunch of fucking pictures of her and sent them to fucking, you know, it showed them to Gordon. Cause his whole thing was, I want to show you that I can turn anyone could go crazy. You know what I mean? That was the whole thing in Killing Joke. And he tried to make Gordon go crazy by doing all these horrific things to his daughter, you know? So he's on his own level. Like you never see any of the other Batman villains doing anything on that level.
Yep. Like even the Red Hood, like the Red Hood animated movie?
Oh yeah, under the Red Hood. Yeah. Which was great, yeah.
Under that scene with the wrench, even for an animated, I'm like, that still got me. I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Really cool scene. Have you seen that one, Mike? Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I've seen that. All right, guys. Jeez. Wow. That is some impassioned speech. About Batman and about his villains.
Go back to your Tostitos, Riddler.
Holy shit.
There's nothing funnier than seeing a dude dressed up as the Riddler eating Tostitos.
It's
get some more to him.
Get some more. Okay. Tostitos. That's, for the Batman that's, villain that's, and you. That's my little... Yeah. All right. So, I think that's it. We're good. Right.
Yep.
As cool. I keep chewing. Sorry.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You brought it. You brought your A game.
This was easy. This was like, yeah, Rob, can you just do this? Come over. Sure. What is it? Oh, yeah. Batman villains. And it was just a smoke outline. Just came right here. He's like, I'm here. What do we want? What do you want to talk about? Anything? Anything Batman? I'm in. Tried to get Cousin Jay to show up too, because he would have had a blast.
And he would have had a lot to say about this too. Yeah.
I have to read this to you before we go because it's the best. It's the most Cousin Jay text I think I've ever gotten. It's fucking fantastic. He says, I said, yo, you available to do a podcast tonight? It's Batman themed. And he goes, brah. First word that's
it's weird.
Brah. I'm going to be at a barbecue sauce tasting in Rockaway pretty much all night. That's the fucking greatest sentence I've ever heard.
Something that like you would never guess somebody would say, but you're not surprised.
That
at the same
sentence,
time, it's amazing.
That sentence will never be uttered again, ever.
I'm at a tree sculpting farm the whole night.
Yeah,
sorry.
Pretty much the whole night.
Oh, that's fucking amazing,
bruh.
That is the greatest thing ever.
I want to read it one more time, bruh. I'm gonna be at a BBQ sauce tasting in Rockaway pretty much all night.
Night. See you.
All right. So for Rob and for Art, I'm Mike. We got to go taste some barbecue sauce.
See Peace. Ya.
Don't forget to leave us a review and rating on iTunes and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Masters of None. Masters of None is brought to you by Simply Syndicated, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and streaming live on morelikeradio.com.
Check out the website mastersofnone.com. It includes episodes, news, articles, videos, pictures, so much fucking more, man. Check them out. Masters of None. Masters of a fucking excellent domain name, I'll tell you that right now.
Father too many.
They had it. Think someone had it, and they were like, "We want that. We gotta get it."
You think they had to buy it?
I would think, man. Like you said, that's a good name.
Once they got it, they were going way far back.
Maybe they saw that.
Maybe they got it. Maybe they got it way back.
How far back?
Way back.
How far are you gonna go back?
Way back. As we go around like this. All right, check them out. Mastersofnone.com.